I feel bad for the guy, though. You shouldn't have... He's just trying to do his job. You shouldn't have done that.
So?
No, you shouldn't do things like that to the Amazon delivery guy.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have been wearing those short shorts. Then I wouldn't have, you know, tried anything.
Oh, and we're rolling, by the way. So we should get on with it.
Right. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Kat Baker Show, the longest running podcast in the world and the number one for... podcast in the Philippines, hosted by I, Kat Baker, voted number one person in the UK. And today, it's our 30th episode. 30 episodes. 30, the same age as me. And, I mean, considering we're the longest running podcast in the world, that's quite... doesn't quite add up. We do one episode a year, don't we? That's how we do it.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
They say most podcasts don't get past episode 3 anyway, so you've...
Yes. Well, we're in the top 1% of podcasts because we did make it past 20 episodes, which I believe is most podcasts stop after 20 episodes.
That's a good milestone.
But, you know, I have to keep posting because, you know, the 10,000 regular viewers that we have, I mean, will be absolutely furious if I stop, you know. There'll be pandemonium in the streets of the UK.
You were late one time with an episode and some riots broke out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they were race riots as well. So, you know, clearly I hold quite a lot of sway over, you know, public discourse. It is race riot and brat summer here in the UK. You're a man over the age of 30. Do you know what brat summer is?
I know of brat summer. I've looked into it. But initially not knowing what it was. But I know it's just an album title that became a thing, which obviously started as a marketing thing, but now it's like a whole thing. But it goes against, it's not the traditional meaning of the word brat. It's a different thing.
No, it's just like being a cool girl.
Oh.
Or a cool twink. You know, and you're just sort of like having your ciggies and you're going out partying, doing lots of coke and going on holiday to Italy and stuff. But
is that why you went to Italy?
Oh, that was pre-brat. That was eight.
Yeah, but like you're April. A trendsetter. You get in these things early.
Charlie XCX has really blown up in the last month also because of this album. But I have been a Charlie XCX stan for like years. So, you know, because she is such a good artist. She's works with all the best producers and things like that. Love her music. You know, all the cool people like Charlie XCX. But yeah, there's also... yeah, brat summer and racist summer. Yeah, there's been a lot of people are kicking off in the UK because of immigrants or just generally people who are of a different skin colour, isn't it, really? It's not necessarily...
It gets to a point where it's not really about immigrants anymore. It's just about certain type of far-right white people that want to...
Is there anything happening in... I know in Northern Ireland something's kicked off. Is anything in this...
No, but in Dublin, we had a very similar thing about 6 months ago.
Sorry, that was me.
Sorry. About 6 months ago, we had something very similar. Maybe not 6 months ago. It was in the last year anyway, but it was the same thing. A non-national person stabbed a 13-year-old kid and like almost stabbed a toddler or something. It was something horrific. It was like a crazy person doing a crazy thing. But because he was a non-national or an immigrant, whatever, people kicked off and the far right were rioting. It was basically a very small version of what happened in the UK in the last week. It was maybe, I want to say November, but it all kicked off in Dublin, like 20 minutes from where I grew up, like a street.
Oh, I do remember. Yeah. I remember that being on the news.
So it's just another version of that. So something's clearly happening with the quote-unquote alt-right. But it's the people that are on the street aren't the people that are hyper-political. They're just the people that want to fight and be aggressive and racist.
And, you know, steal Crocs. Have you seen that?
Well, not Crocs, but I've seen, like, stealing, looting the footwear store, like, Footlocker. Well,
so there's, like, these women, like, during the riots or whatever, and there's, like, some woman walking out with, like, a, ton of Crocs, and then other people walking out with like basket loads of Lush
Well, it's just looting. It's funny because it, you know, people talk about this like the alt-right, and therefore it's a political statement. Mm. And, oh, we're rioting for politics, and then you're like, oh, I must stand by my political ideology. Yeah. But also, I need to get those new Nike Air Max, or I need to get those new whatever. It doesn't make any sense.
I remember it's the same as, do you remember the riot? There's riots in the UK in 2010, like, but they were more like teenagers and students. So it was part of, during 2010, I remember this. So when I was, I did government and politics at A-level, which was politics, basically. And I remember we, like, in during sixth form, we went as part of, like, a politics field trip. Although we went without the teacher, but the teacher gave us permission to go. We went to the 2010 student protests, which at the time was the protest because they tripled the fees. So it went from $3,000 to $9,000 a year for university fees. I was one of the, like, it happened the year I was about to go to uni. It was $9,000 instead of $3,000. But it kind of triggered like a bunch of riots. And then there was just loads of young people rioting, and then there's like people who went to jail for like stealing like bags of rice and things like that.
Oh god. Well, yeah. I think the problem is, you know, peaceful protests, everything's peaceful protests show power in numbers and show that enough people want change to happen, and therefore change might happen. But it's when there's a small percentage in that group that get violent or want to loot or see this as an opportunity and riots kick out, and then once a riot kicks off, it's like, this is when we can break into that footlocker, or this is when we can steal. I mean, obviously the people that get going to jail for rice or whatever, they're the ones that are being made example of. Like, as in the police go, we need to arrest someone, so they see that arrests are happening, people are going to prison.
It's like during the Black Lives Matter thing, there was a lot of looting in the US. It didn't happen in the UK, but then it was like, it ended up going, and it just sort of becomes like a sort of pandemonium, I guess. Having said that, do peaceful protests work? Well, they did like the Million March or whatever in London against the Iraq War, and they still went to war.
But also, last week, the Wednesday night that there was supposed to be a load more protests and riots from the far right, all of the counter protesters turned up.
Yeah.
And they, in Bristol, in Walthamstow, in Birmingham, and they all turned up and deterred the far right fascists, apparently.
Yeah.
So that was the big thing.
Well, they said that. I saw my local thing. They said it was going to happen, but then they think it was maybe just false information and they weren't going to turn up anyway.
But I think it's a good sign to show that the counter-protesters, the good guys, if you will, turned up and peacefully protested and everything was fine. That's the way I look at that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's nothing comedic in there to run with.
But it just made me think of, I was talking of violence. I survived a shooting recently.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling you about this off camera. I was telling Anthony about it off camera. But me and my mates were at I'm in a part of London that is maybe associated with gang stuff. So I'm not in Chelsea, let's just say. And
it still doesn't really narrow it down, but still keeping it vague.
Yeah.
There.
And me and my mates were like, having dinner at this place like outside, and like we heard some like pops go off, but it started getting louder and it was coming towards us, and then all these people started running out of this place like towards the restaurant, and we were like, oh my god, someone has got a gun and is shooting. And so everyone in the restaurant, we all got under the tables. People either got under tables or they like ran inside. I think when they ran inside, I don't know if people inside got under the tables as well, but all of us outside got under our tables. But turns out it was kids letting off fireworks. But if anyone asks, or if no one has seen this podcast, I am just going to say it was a gang shooting, and I was actually shot. Like, it grazed my ear like Donald Trump, and I stood up and I was like,
so you were like the hero.
Yeah, I was a fucking hero. I also like just sort of caught a bullet like that, just as it was that far away from like a 3-year-old's face, and I went and I threw it back, and that's that's what happened. But yeah, it does make me think I want to be maybe somewhere more gentrified. You know. Okay, so this is the thing about gentrification, right? Is it... I mean, it's not a whole sociology lesson, right? Okay. But I think there's different types of gentrification, right? And something... I used to live in Bristol, okay?
Arguably the most gentrified place in the UK outside London.
Well, yeah. So,
is there an argument there for
Well, so it's like... people in Bristol get really annoyed with Londoners moving there. But let me tell you this, Bristol, you would not survive if Londoners didn't move there. Like, it would just be full of poverty. Because a city cannot survive on ketamine and drum and bass alone. Like, that's not an economy. And honestly, without Londoners moving there, there would be no economy in Bristol. And you kind of need... Like, obviously, there is creatives in Bristol... But
famously, one guy in particular.
Yeah, but a lot of people who are like from there, you need mixes of other people coming in. Otherwise, it would just be people doing drum and bass and weird crusty stuff. You know, like yeah, kind of. So that's somewhere where I think obviously the house prices. They just need to sort that out by like that's just a fucking. Capitalism issue. And also I think there's the idea that people who gentrify places are like individuals who move to a certain area, right? Let's say a middle class person moves to like an area that's working class or whatever. But like it's not gentrification if it's like just a fucking someone with an art history degree going to rent a shitty room for 500 quid somewhere a bit cheaper than where they normally can afford. Like, gentrification is a process caused by, like, landlords buying up properties and fucking, what do you call it, property developers and things like that. Like,
but don't they say, isn't it like, especially with like Shoreditch back in the day and other places of East London, it's where all the broke artists go? Because yeah. All the broke artists want to live somewhere near London, but they have to settle for like East London or whatever, like Shoreditch 15, 20 years ago. But like, these are the artists that haven't made it yet, so they're broke, so they need cheap rent. So that they find somewhere with cheap rent, and then as the years go by, maybe more the councils or whoever realizes more and more people in this area that aren't the working class locals, so things go up, and then maybe then some of said artists actually end up making money, which is, you know, a small percentage of artists. So you have this kind of mindset where, all right, let's gentrify this place. Let's open up that fancy cafe, or let's open up this kind of whatever, you know, cool record store, vintage record store, that, or anything that appeals to that kind of middle class broke artist.
Yeah.
But for every artist that makes money, like 20 artists will never make money. So it's that kind of, so people are still a bit
skint. It's like these people, like... People will be like, oh, I hate it when hipsters move into a place because they fucking gentrify somewhere. It's like, these hipsters have no capital. Like, gentrification is a process moved by, like mass movement of, like, capital. And, like, these are people that are coming in. They're not owning their houses. They're living in mouldy bedsits. Like, it's not...
Isn't there a mindset that some hipsters might be middle class and might have rich parents, but they'll downplay that? And they'll pretend they'll hold on to this working class dream.
But there's just, like, most... Like, yeah, of course that's a thing, but most people are not. Like, that's, like, most middle-class people, especially in this economy, like, middle-class in terms of finances doesn't hold what it used to have. Like,
no,
because of the gig economy.
The middle-class, like, technically the middle-class is such a big spectrum. You actually have, lower middle-class, middle-middle-class, and upper middle-class, but people use the term upper middle-class, but that's about it. There's people who are technically middle-class, but one wrong move and they're back working class again. Yeah. That's the kind of, or the middle classes need to keep working to have that income. Therefore, they're technically a different version of working class.
Yeah. But it's like, people, again, it's like if you blame individuals, you're not seeing the wider picture. Like, it's a whole, you know, it's council selling off fucking council housing or like, you know, buy to let, that's the issue. It's not like because someone started a fucking sourdough bakery somewhere. Like, that's not...
Yeah, or like the artists and the hipsters get blamed, but really it's just an excuse for the government to push out the people that genuinely need council flats. It's like the you know, the government don't care about the poor people. That's the whole the undertone here.
And ultimately, you do need people wanting to move somewhere, or it just becomes desolate and everyone moves out and then there's no economy. So you need an element of people wanting to be somewhere.
And places need to be affordable, otherwise homelessness will quadruple.
Exactly.
But
anyway, because, you know, people look at me and they say, I'm a gentrifier, but just let me do what I want to do. Fuck off. Let me live somewhere and pay £5 for coffee and not feel bad about it. Okay.
Do you think you'd fit in living somewhere like Chelsea or Chiswick or a really fancy suburb in Surrey?
No,
like, could you pretend to be that person if you moved there?
No, see, that's the thing. Like, if you walk around Chelsea, that's probably the only ever areas, because being a middle class person, probably the only other areas I've ever walked around and been like, I just feel a bit rough. It's been like Chelsea. Like, I'm a bit like, oh, this is, you know, this is what it feels like when you're not one of the, you know, it's what it must feel like when people look at you and go a bit like, oh.
So you know how the working classes feel.
Yeah, so now I am because I went to Chelsea once, I'm a working class hero, you know.
Only when you're in Chelsea.
I understand the struggle, you know. So there you go.
You're a woman of the people.
Yeah, like the, you know, like the sort of Malcolm X of like...
I mean, that's a big leap, but sure.
Well, I think people have said that about me. You know, I advocate for people who have perfect pussies. And I also advocate for the fact that you can achieve anything despite having bad tattoos. That's something I always, you know, try and represent. I have a long, you know, I have a career having tattoos. That career might be porn, but it's still a career nonetheless, you know.
So the interview for HMRC didn't go quite well because you wore short-sleeved shirt, showed your tattoos.
Yep.
So when are you getting this face tattoo that you keep talking about?
What, the penis?
Is that what you decided?
Yeah, did you see Steve-O got a penis tattooed on his face recently?
I didn't, but he's also got a giant, really well-done portrait of himself on his back.
Oh, yeah. But you know he's about to get a boob job.
Oh, God, not really. I think the way his career went is really great. Like, what he's doing right now is amazing. He's got this YouTube channel. He tours doing really unique stand-up and stunts, and it's all because of him being the Jackass guy. But did you ever hear about him talking about the Jackass days? And he really had to hustle to get the parts in the movies. He wasn't quite the inner circle of Jackass. Even though he was one of the popular ones, he still had to, like, Johnny Knoxville would have to phone him up and say, oh, we want you for the movie, or we pay you like a small amount. And even though it felt like he was one of the main guys, he was just a guy that, and so he had to really capitalize on it himself. But he did the maddest shit. That's how he became famous.
Yeah.
You know, hence getting a tattoo.
But it's like, you don't need to do this crazy stuff anymore.
The boob job thing. Tattoos are one thing because he's already covered in tattoos. The boob job is a bit silly.
It's pretty...
I draw the line on
stupido.
That one.
So maybe I should do some stunts to get more views on the YouTube.
That might be the next phase.
What stunts I could do? I could do like maybe you could sort of push me in a wheelie bin.
Well, I can't do it because I have to hold a camera, remember? So you have to get someone else.
Oh, okay. So what if I get like just some random person to just like push me in a wheelie bin, maybe like a wheelie bin full of like jelly or something, like vegan jelly, of course. And then, I mean, I don't see what the point would be having vegan jelly in the wheelie bin. I don't know, maybe we'll park that idea.
I think when you think about stunts, you're going the opposite direction. You got to think about wacky shit that people think they can do, but they can't do it, and they want to watch you do it, such as, I don't know.
Like maybe get some boob implants in my forehead or something.
I mean, it's certainly a stunt, but, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Steve-O and the lads used to get their butt cheeks stapled together and stuff, which is technically a temporary thing because you can unstaple it.
I guess I could staple my fanny flaps, but...
Nah, that's your money. That's your money maker. Yeah. Though, so be careful.
That is my money maker. I can't. No, sorry, guys. I don't think the stunt life is for me, to be honest. Which is sad, but... Alas, I must protect what is dear and what is precious. And what is precious is my pussy. You know, I can't be doing things or whatever. I guess if I ever got, like, my pussy trimmed, right?
Just to clarify, you don't mean the hair down there.
No. I mean, like, the flaps. I could potentially sell the flaps for quite a lot of money.
I mean, that's
because my mate got her fanny done, and I think they asked her whether she wanted to keep them or not. I can't remember if she kept them or if she threw them away.
That's wild that that's a conversation that happens.
Ooh,
this day and age.
But it just makes you go, oh. No, I couldn't do it. I could never get my pussy trimmed.
Comment below if you would potentially buy the trimmings.
Yeah, how much would you be willing to pay for my pussy lips, if you're wondering?
That kind of reminds me of, I feel like there was a trend years ago in like Hollywood and stuff where it was like getting your butthole bleached.
Mm.
It's the same vein as that cosmetic thing, but it's just a bit more full on when you're things lopped off.
Bleach their pussy lips. You bleach them like tie dye. Have you ever had a hemorrhoid?
I have not. Touch wood, not yet.
I was just researching hemorrhoids because I had a bit of an itchy butthole recently, and I was like, what if I get hemorrhoids? And then I'm like, oh my god. Then I'm like, that's something I'll have to airbrush out of pictures if I get, like, on OnlyFans. You can get hemorrhoids when you're pregnant, I believe. Like, you're more likely to get them. Oh, man. I really hope I don't have hemorrhoids or get them at some point, because I just feel like it's just one extra thing to deal with. Like, being a woman, you know, you have to deal with, like, thrush... or BV, or fucking just like hair removal, ingrown hairs, and then having hemorrhoids on top of that. Oh man, that would suck. I do have, I was gonna be like, I hope this doesn't gross people out, but then I remember like my audience is absolutely disgusting, and so like they're not gonna care.
I don't think there's any fear of grossing people out.
Yeah, obviously. I've got some like skin tags that have developed like in sort of the groin area, and I'm like, oh, and it's skin tag. It's not warts. I googled it. It's not general warts. It is skin tags.
Was there a moment of fear?
Yeah, but it's like they've been there for ages now, and so I'm like, okay, I want to get them removed. Like, you can do skin tag removal. So I will probably have to get that done at some point, just because it's like, yeah. I could sell them.
I was going to say, I don't think anyone's buying skin
tags.
Oh
my god, yes they would.
But you never know.
Yes they would. There is definitely someone at home wrong. That would buy my skin tags from my groin area.
That is just a new level of weird and gross, if you ask me. But hey.
But the worst part is, it's like, after I get them off, I'd have to be like, can I take those home?
Like, hey doc, don't lose those.
Doctor's just like, so disturbed. Oh my god, yeah. So yeah, comment down below if you'd buy my skin tags. That I actually just threw up in my mouth a little bit saying that sentence, but...
It is kind of funny, the concept that, like, men buy things. And, I get that it's popular. It's a thing with, like, porn stars and OnlyFans girls. But, like, list off some things that you think people could sell or have sold.
Okay. Well, okay. So, let me tell you things. So, back when I used to sell on that panty selling website. So, like, when I first started sex work, yeah, I was selling my underwear. And it was this website where, because you're selling underwear, it kind of attracted people who are, like, really into fetish stuff and have really specific fetishes. But OnlyFans, most people, they just want to see boobs and pussy. Like, it's not that deep.
Yeah, but then there's a whole world out there where people want to go a lot farther with buying stuff.
Yeah. But I'll tell you some of the things I sold on that site. I sold toenail clippings.
Oh, wow.
Pubes.
Oh, wow. Actually, I've heard the pubes one before, which is, yeah. Again, we don't want to say weird. We don't say weird. Yeah, we don't kink shame.
A used tampon, sandwich towel. And
I've got nothing to say in that one.
And like gummy bears that I put in my pussy and then took out and put in a Ziploc bag.
And these are obviously all things that people come to you for. You don't come up with these ideas and say, look what I have for sale.
No. Yeah, you don't, cause, yeah, it's very
niche. It's wild.
Yeah, it's very absolute, niche. You're not going to get, you don't, I wouldn't post on my OnlyFans tape like, hi guys, I've got several packets of pews for sale if anyone like it. Like no one's, no one's going to take that up. It's people who are specifically, I had a guy ask me if I would shit in a container and post it to him, and that to me was just a step too far.
Well, about 10 years ago, I remember there was somebody on Joe Rogan, and obviously Joe Rogan gets a whole myriad of guests, and I remember it was a long time ago and I barely knew the podcast, but I knew it was a thing, and he had this it was before the spike of OnlyFans.
Right.
It was like someone that called themselves a humiliatrix, basically just another version of a dominatrix, but she kind of freaked Joe Rogan out by saying, yeah, she sells Tupperware full of her poo. And that's her thing.
You know what? What stopped me from doing it was just like the thought of handing a box of poop over to the postman. I was like,
the process in what between.
And what if something happens and it gets out?
Return to sender.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You know, do you ever get something in the post? Do you ever order something in the post or Amazon and the box gets a bit damaged and the container might get a bit damaged and the contents might kind of come out of the bag a little bit?
Yeah, and they send it in that, like, or, you know, when they send it in that plastic bag where it's like someone, it's been damaged or someone's opened it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh! And then just know someone's like, open.
But if it's too damaged, then obviously it can't be sent to the person who bought it, so it comes back to the sender.
Oh.
Return to sender.
But I mean, people post their poop all the time to like doctor's samples.
Oh, I guess so, actually, yeah.
But it's just like a...
It's not like
a box.
Now, here's a question.
Takeaway container.
Now, here's a question that you... so here's a question that you might not want to put too much thought into. And if it goes really weird, we can cut this bit out. You've sold stuff in the past, even if it is just knickers or whatever, right? Mm. Do you ever put much thought into, or do you need to have a complete disconnect of what the men are doing specifically with that item?
No, I don't. I don't care at all what they do with it. I know they...
Obviously, you can make an assumption.
Because most send me like photo... I'd say half send a photo of them, like, or video of them using them.
Interesting. So, that's,
so they either wear them or they wank into them, basically.
Yeah. That's the thing. Obviously, the masturbation element is there, but like, what specifically?
No, I don't switch off from that. I don't, because obviously on OnlyFans anyway, like, I see people's penises all day, every day, and like them do, or I do video calls, or
yeah, true.
Like, I'm well aware of what they're doing with it, and I'm fine with that.
I guess you kind of have to be.
Yeah, you could do. Yeah, I think. Yeah, that's just part of it, I would say. But yeah, I definitely have like a. Like, poop is a thing that grosses me out a lot.
Most human beings are the same. It's a very specific niche of the
people.
But
I was like,
what makes
me most sick is like poop. And like, yeah, on Dead Men Talking, they showed me that a woman eating poop video.
Yeah, they show a lot of weird stuff in that. Thankfully, I've never seen them. I've just watched them and heard them. But, yeah.
Fuck you, Dead Man Talking, for showing that to me. love you all. But, oh, my God. I'll never see a porta potty the same.
It was in a porta potty?
Yep. They went in and got them.
Oh, good Lord. And was it, like, was it filmed?
At a festival.
Like, was it, like, their mate filming on a phone type thing or whatever? Or was
so it was
obvious?
A guy filming and he gave it to a woman. Who's,
oh, no.
And she's there, like, his kind of, like,
son. Oh, so, like, the extreme
yeah,
humiliation, but, eat this type yeah. thing. Oh, good Lord.
But, I mean, she seemed into it.
Oh, wow.
But it's funny, like, just as now, I was looking at Reddit of inspiration of problems to talk about, and I was looking at the relationships problems subreddit, and the highest rated relation like post on that today was a guy being like, my girlfriend is not cleaning her ass properly.
I mean, before you post online, you just need to politely mention it to her, make a joke.
No, he has, and she's oh, has. That's the problem. She went, it's irrelevant, or like,
wow. Good hygiene. Good hygiene is never irrelevant amongst couples.
But is it true that men don't wash their asses?
I don't know, because I have good hygiene. That's all I'm going to say.
Do you wash your ass when you're in the shower?
Yes. And that's all I'm going to say on it. But there's a whole like trope where people like, oh, people don't wash their legs or their feet because they just let the water rush down and that's how you wash them. Like, that's bullshit. I mean, the people do that, but you've got to wash yourself. You've got to wash every inch of you. It's always been my mindset.
Okay, yeah. I'm just saying, guys, just make sure you are, like, you get your hand in, like, you do have to, like, kind of, you know.
I think the best expression is just get right in there.
Yeah. But legs, but see, this is the thing, because I was watching this dermatologist on YouTube, who I quite like watching, and she's saying legs. She's like, no, you don't need to wash your legs because your legs don't have like glands in, like they don't, they're not like when you're in the shower washing. The places you need to like make sure you scrub with your hand, right, or like soap or whatever, is like the groin area, armpits. Or if you get, like, body acne, you know, sort of like there. But, like, your legs, you don't, because, like, you don't sweat, like, at your shins.
That's so they're not a... I mean, that's interesting, but I still don't know. I give my legs a once-over in the shower. But, like, imagine you were out, you know, if you were out walking in mud and muck and shorts and you got your legs mucky, then you need to physically wash that off. But if you're just in the habit
of... I don't think you actually don't need to do it.
I mean, for the sake of 30 seconds in the shower, I'd say just wash your whole body.
Yeah, but it's just that just washes anyway, I think.
In theory, everything runs down, I get it, but I'm an advocate of just giving my whole body a once-over.
If you ask non-dermatologists, they don't say you need to get that on your legs. Unless, yeah, you have mud, or like if you're getting like...
Well, what do they say? What do they say about buttholes?
Buttholes, you definitely got to. Yeah,
you got it. That's make sure you it's an drive orifice, that point home. Drive that point home with your fans. Make sure they're all washing their buttholes.
Please, guys. Like, but that's the thing. That's why I don't ever really want to. I've never pegged a man, okay, and I would totally do it, but I'd need to know that man has prepared. Because men often think you're just going to stick a whole thing up there, like straight men. Obviously, gay men are used to it, so, you know, they douche and, you know, and you brought that douche here today. Most straight men, if preparing to be fucked anally, don't consider the fact that they need to make sure it's clean.
It's definitely important, and not just that it's clean. I'll say one word, that it's empty. So.
Yeah. But I had I remember I lived with this gay guy, and he was like, he would bottom sometimes. Not for me, just for like, just in general. And fuck me though, douching is like a bit of a long process. It's a bit of a fucking, like before you go out for a night, you've kind of got to shove a bunch of water up you, let it out, and then do it again and out again. Whereas like being a, if you're just getting it in the pussy, you know, you just have to give your pussy a little wash. And then
self-cleaning is what they say, is that right?
Yeah, but if it's before you go out, you give it a bit of a wash. You don't want it to go out of a sweaty fanny, really. Yeah.
Probably stellar advice for your female listeners. Yes. Your new realm of female listeners.
All two of them. Yeah. Wow, we've given some really good, you know, advice today.
This has been a poignant episode. We're past the half an hour mark, just saying.
Right. Yeah, so wash your holes. Wash your holes, guys. You know, I have many holes that I wash. Don't wash
the holes in your Crocs.
Yes. Yeah. The holes in my crumpets. The holes in my whatever. So let's answer a fan problem, shall we?
Let's do it.
So this fan has said he is in a relationship, but he still uses OnlyFans. Is this cheating?
That's an interesting one, because you could definitely put it in the same realm as watching porn cheating, which it's definitely not.
Mm.
I personally don't think having an OnlyFans is cheating, but I think the issue comes with the fact that you can chat to the creators. That's and therefore, women might think they're building a relationship with this person.
So it is weird, isn't it? Because it's like OnlyFans is like, you talk to the creator. It's also a bit like webcamming, like you're having an interaction with them.
Yeah, people want that kind of fake intimacy almost.
Yeah, and you're like also, they can see you if you want them to. You know, like you can send pictures of yourself or you can do a phone call with them, like video call. So it is more intimate. But obviously, from my side as a creator, I have absolutely no romantic interest.
Yeah, it's all performative.
Sorry, guys. Sorry to, but like,
you're gonna show them behind the
obviously
curtain.
There's fans you get that are favorites, and there's fans who like you have conversations with you that you genuinely enjoy, and you're like, oh, this is nice. But have I ever felt like I'm romantically interested in a fan? No, never. Okay, I'm sorry, guys.
Have you ever heard, there's definitely stories of porn stars or OnlyFans girls that end up hooking up with fans. I swear I've read that somewhere. Have you heard any of those?
Oh, so that's what they do. They do like fuck a fan competitions, but most times they're not actual fans. It's people they know.
I was going to say they can curate and
they
pretend,
yeah. And they normally like get you like do something where you have to pay a certain amount to be put in the prize draw or something. Or it's just, you know, you obviously subscribe because you might be one of the fans. But it's...
So do you think it's cheating then? I know you're a creator, so you have a different mindset, different viewpoint on it. But in general, as a human being, as a human woman...
I wouldn't consider it cheating.
But you have to think, picture yourself in a relationship and you're monogamous, in love with your boyfriend, and you find out he's been chatting to OnlyFans girls. That's where you have to link up that empathy.
I think you have to, I do see how you would feel betrayed, but I also think you have to think like, also what people consume online and in porn often has very little reflection on what they want in real life. Like, you know, like, yeah, I've watched goblin porn and I've watched, you know, or like sometimes I like watching porn with like super old men in it, but like, I don't want an old man in real life. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, and there might be things you want to talk about online or see online, but you don't actually want that in real life. And so just because someone's messaging a woman who is providing a service and you are messaging her because you want to talk about, I don't know, pooping in a container. That's probably a bad one. Okay, maybe something more like, you know, you want to talk about how you're, fuck, I don't know. Damn, my improv is failing me. You want to talk about like how your Willy likes it when you see a woman wearing a donut around her neck.
I guess it's got
to be. That's like the worst improv I've ever done. Yeah, yeah. So like a woman with a donut and you're like, please, I really want to see, like, I've just got this thing where I'd like to see photos of a woman with a donut around her neck. Doesn't mean that his girlfriend isn't fulfilling his needs. He maybe just has this other weird thing that he's like, I want to see online, you know?
And the alternative to that is he asks his girlfriend to do it. She not only doesn't want to do it, but she freaks out and judges him, and therefore she can't get over that judgment. Mm. So he's revealed this thing that she cannot get over, but that's kind of kink-shamey, and people shouldn't be kink-shamey.
God, I was watching Sex and the City the other day, and there's an episode where she, this guy asks her to like pee on him, like in the shower.
I think that show was ahead of its time. That covered a lot of fetishistic things.
And she was like totally freaked out by it. And in the end says she can't do it. And then he dumps her, which is obviously shitty of him. But also it's like, peeing on someone in the shower, to me, that just seems so... I wouldn't even think twice. I don't know. If I was in the shower with a guy and he was like, would you pee on me? I'd be like, okay.
The issue is, can I pee on you? If he says that...
Yeah, if he said, could he pee on me? That's completely different. And then I'd be like... But like, pee on him. It's like, yeah, fine. I mean, I was going to pee anyway. You know, so like... Yeah, if you want to just get under me, then that's fine. You know? But... Yeah, if he asked to pee on me, I'd be like, you know, it's like in porn. You know? In porn, when you see the scenes where, like, you know, like piss scenes, where a guy pisses in her mouth afterwards or pisses on over her face. And obviously, because it's porn, she has to be like, I'm loving it. And is like, like, you know, but there are very, very few, if any, women who enjoy having their mouth pissed in. I mean, obviously there are a few, of course, but not as many as there are videos out there.
Porn would have you think more women want.
It's definitely not like I would just, no. If my partner was like, we want to piss in your mouth, or piss out your mouth. Maybe if it was Christmas, maybe. But like, the idea that it just makes me laugh, the fact that they have to be like, and then they moan while they're doing it, like, there's no point of being, you're having your mouth pissed in that makes you want to moan, ever. Okay, as a woman. Especially from a man's piss, which is probably dehydrated. If it was maybe a woman pissing, I feel like it's... Yeah, I would prefer to be pissed on by another woman than by a man.
Interesting. Okay, elaborate on that a bit more. I'm curious.
Just women are cleaner and they drink more water and they're...
But isn't hydration kind of based on how much water you've had that day?
Yeah, and like in general, they
that's
drink.
What I mean. But what if it was a day where they just were busy and didn't drink much water that day? But there's no way of knowing because they've not keeping track.
Yeah, it's also just like, I don't know. Women are just less gross.
I guess so. Yeah, that's the.
But also, I like men. You know, I mostly date men, but like, and have sex with them. But I don't know. Women are just a bit. Yeah. I think it's because I've lived with boys before. I see how gross they are. And you're like, ew. And they do gross. They do gross boy things. And you're like, ugh. So, we're doing a new segment from now on, okay? Which is reading my most unhinged DM I've received this week. So, this is a challenge to all you viewers out there. Can you send me an unhinged DM that might be featured next time? We shall see. But I'm going to read a DM that I got this week. To be fair, this one is not that unhinged. This is a DM that I get a lot, this type of DM. But I can only scroll so far back. And I know in the past I've got absolutely wild things sent to me. But this is something someone has sent me on Instagram. And that is... is there any amount that would get me a night with you, mate? Packet of fucking what's-its, to be honest, would get a night with me. But no, if you're talking about escorting, right? The thing is, from all the girls I know, like, because I know quite a lot of girls who escort, right? So this is anyone who's thinking if there's a certain amount they can pay me to get me to spend the night with them. Anyone who says that, is there any amount I can pay to spend the night with you, is probably a fucking psycho. Like, why? Or they want to do something really weird. Because why wouldn't you just go see a normal... you just go to an escort who...
Yeah, there's like going rates for sex.
Yeah, there's going...
So why would you go over the figure...
Yeah,
I think the
it's like a power thing. Yeah. It's like a, if I could wield something over you with this certain amount of money, when there's women out there who have a set price list that you can go use.
There's a weird power thing where they want to pay way over the odds because the answer is no. I think you don't usually do meetups, you don't usually do sex work, but they
don't want to pay an escort. They want to pay someone who isn't an escort to escort, like. It's like, okay, well, there's something about you that you want to push boundaries. There's something which
is a bit scary.
Yeah. If you're just a guy who wants to sleep with an escort, then why wouldn't you just go to an escort who, you know, wants to do it and, you know, has a fair rate? Because, mate, it's probably going to be like 20 quid, you know, for me, you know, which is a lot.
It went up. It just went up from a packet of what's-its.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, in that time, well, my stock just rose because my did a couple Kegel exercises just now, so my pussy is a little bit tighter now. Although I actually think it gets baggier with age, doesn't it?
Ugh. Age or use?
Age. Apparently... I mean, obviously, like, popping sprogs out of it, obviously, is the main thing that changes it.
I suppose.
But, yeah. So I'm like, yeah, guys, just go ask it. Don't ask me. Go ask an escort who will do it for a fair price. I know plenty of nice ones. So, you know, go try that. But, yeah.
Okay, so that wasn't that unhinged. Do you actually have, like, a legitimate unhinged... DM.
That's the most unhinged one I could find today.
In the grand scheme of things, that's not that unhinged.
No.
That's like, can I sleep with you for money? Unhinged. Yeah. Like, I'd imagine there'd be some wacky shit.
I know. I had an idea. I wanted to see it and I was looking at my Instagram DMs and I was like, oh my God, there's so many. And I haven't made note of my craziest DMs. So from now on, I'm going to be making a note of my craziest DMs. So next time, it's going to be way crazier.
Yeah, let's make this a segment. One particularly unhinged DM.
But that was just to set us off, you know. Please don't send me anything very disturbing.
Like, okay, so unhinged. define define unhinged to your fans.
Unhinged in a nice way. You know, don't tell me about, you know, wanting to fuck kids or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, so don't do that. Just be like...
But maybe you've prompted people to, like, make shit up and send it to you.
That's fine. If it's funny, you know, if it's like, oh, I really want you to poop in my mouth or something, like, that's kind of funny. That's, like, unhinged but funny. You know? Peak comedy is this podcast, you know? Pooping vagina, all that stuff. Very, very funny. You know, I see you all rolling around on the floor at home laughing. So, yeah. Anyway, this has been The Kat Baker Show, the number one podcast in the Philippines and the longest running podcast in the world. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you click like and subscribe, and you know, go check out all my websites. I'm sorry, guys, I will not sell you boxes of poo, but there are other more vanilla things that you can get from me. And yeah, I'll see you next one. Bye.